Thank you. Right. Today's title is Digital Campaign. Lots of flu and cold going around lately. I myself personally had a flu. My entire family was sick last week. And when you know, whenever you're sick, when you have a flu, the doctor says, drink lots of water. Right? And today we are going to learn about drinking water. Have you ever drink hot water? Hot water is high in dissolved minerals, especially like calcium and magnesium. Often, if you drink hot water, you will leave a metallic taste in your mouth. It can taste sour, salty, and bitter. I tried before when I went to near, I think, Northern Territory before, I just drank the tap water and found the taste a bit different to what you drink in Sydney. But nobody wants to be, well, everyone wants to, no one wants to stay hydrated or drinking bad taste water. That is why many kitchen taps, if you have ever seen them, they have a small ion exchange filter attached to the soften the water for better taste. So they will, when you pour water and you go through the filter, and you've got lots of gunk of the mineral in there. After about 6 months or in 1 year, you see it start turning orange color. That is because the what's inside the hot water. But imagine that if you are, what happens in case if you are in the desert, in the wilderness, and there's no water softener treatment available? Are you going to drink some bitter water that tastes like Chinese medicine herbal tea, or getting yourself hydrated? Now, that is what the situation when the Israelites were facing when they crossed after they crossed the Red Sea. After God had displayed His wonders at the Red Sea, and the Israelites crossed over on the dry land, they went into the desert of Shur. Now, the Israelites have been walking for 3 days without water. According to the Medical News Today website, as a general rule of thumb, a person may only survive without water for about 3 days, or a person will die from dehydration. Water is essential for life. With over 2 million population with Moses in the desert, both young and old, babies, grannies, children, the Israelites were in a very, very dangerous situation. So when they came to a place called Marah, which means bitter in Hebrew, because the water was undrinkable and bitter, it was a real national emergency to them, and it was either drinking that bitter water or die. Now at this point, the Israelites grumbled against Moses. They said, "What are we to drink?" They have every reason to believe that God would save them. They knew God had answered prayer because it was in response to their cry that they have been rescued from Egypt, from slavery. The Israelites knew that God had the power over creation because they had witnessed the mighty arm of God in Egypt for the ten plagues, for the parting of the Red Sea. God controls water supply when He turned the Nile River into blood. And as they came out of Egypt, God was in a cloud in front of them to protect them and to guide them to Marah. It's like an ancient miracle GPS system in front of them. God is right in front of them in the cloud, a lot of cloud. And in this passage, Marah stands for the bitterness of our human hearts rather than the water spring. What Marah bitterness with the sun is the unbelieving, grumbling attitude of the people who would not trust God. They say, "What are we to drink?" When we are in danger or in hard position or any problems that we encounter in the society, we always forget what to ask God's help and grumble against each other. Our first reaction against whoever is responsible to the situation. We grumble against our leaders of our country because they have the heart issue of not trusting God, who is in charge of everything. It is a sign of spiritual immaturity. When popular writers, do you blame? Blame the president.
Blame the leader. Blame the governor. Whatever who is in the government position. That's why they call government down in political situation. When the people have problem, they just blame the leaders. Why? Because they're spiritually immature. They don't trust God who is really in charge behind everything. If they believe that God would save them, all they need to do is was just ask Him, and God will provide. But no, they did not ask God. When the trouble comes, even they have seen the red part in the tree, no one ever seen it before, but God did in front of them. They just caused the red sea with a three days ago, and they still don't trust God. Instead, they grumbled against their leader Moses. So, what Moses did? Moses cried out to the Lord in verse 25. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. So, the scripture tells us that the Lord our God is the provider for His people. God listened to Moses' cry, and He sweetened the bitter water by just showing Moses a piece of wood to be thrown into water. And then now, the water spring in Marah became drinkable. It's simple. All they need to do is just ask. But in our lives today, how often do we call out to God for help when real troubles come into our lives? Are we showing bitterness and unbelieving, having an unbelieving attitude like the Israelites? Grumbling is all too common. Today we live in a culture based on instant gratification. We do more than try to get what we want, not what we need, what we want, and we demand it. So we are always thinking about what we don't have, and foolishly thinking that if only we had it, then we would be satisfied. I want the latest car. I want the latest iPhone. Everyone got the newest mobile phone. I want the same. They got the latest game. And I want the same too. I want everything what I saw in my neighborhood. We are not satisfied if we live our life. I would think that if we would have only get, just say that if we had it, then we would be satisfied with this world. But to do this, to locate the problem on the outside rather than what is on the inside. The real problem is our own bitterness, Mara. Our own dissatisfaction, the grumbling and complaining hearts. Many Christians, not just non-believers, many Christians complain about little things. Maybe at work, at home, at church, we disagree with something very small in the worship service just because the program doesn't run the way that you want it. Or we complain about a brand of cookies that your mom or wife have brought just because you don't like it. Or the jobs that have been left unfinished, or the quality of living room furniture that you doesn't like the furniture look like that, put in that corner. You just so you complain. And all this complaining disturbs our relationship with one another and it hinders our witnesses of Christ. Then there are bigger things that we complain about. Poverty, disability, disappointment with children, dissatisfaction on the job, misfortune in love, loving relationship, and chronic pain. These are the bitter cases in our lives. And has something happened in your life? Think about this. Or something you want, you really wanted, it's not happened, it's not happening. Or for that matter, that has become a constant source of complaint in your heart. I have a friend who was complaining all the time why he couldn't get into the selective school when he was in year 7, year 8. He complained all the way to year 12, complained all the way to uni, complained all the way when he had the first job. He's just thinking, I know that friend for a long time, he's just thinking, why can't I get into that selective school in year 7 and year 8? They complain they don't have what they don't have. Do we have any kind of constant sort of complaint in our lives? Or is there something that has come between you and the Lord our God? Something that hinders your prayer and limits your effectiveness in ministry and saving and serving the Lord. For example, like if, just only if, a prominent church member or church leader having a theory in his own mind that he would only serve God and if God would
blessed him. But when God did not bless him, what happened? He was no longer willing to serve. It was not until that he turned in this bitterness of his heart over to God and trusting God to be faithful even in his suffering that he was restored to joy, joyfully served God. The problem at Mara in this place was not the water. It's not the water is bitter. Although it tastes bitter, the bitterness is in the heart of God's people. Bitterness does not come in the outward circumstances, but it is an inward human response. We are called not to complain about God as the Israelites did, but to believe in his goodness. What it means is that we have to trust the Lord our God even when he leads us into bitter waters. God can help us in our needs, and all we need to do is just trust him for his provision. All we need to do is to ask him who is mighty to save. Trusting God instead of grumbling about the tough situation or things that we don't have, things we want. No whinging. No whinging. God's grace is shown by his mercy and grace. The bitterness of Mara was turned to sweet by a piece of wood. It was a miracle. God did it so that we can learn to trust in him for the water of life. God wants us to have a deep dependence on his ability to provide. That was true for the Israelites, and it was the bitter, sweet waters of Mara that increased their faith. If God just gives them a sweet water at the beginning, they won't learn how to ask God to change it. All you need to do is just throw a piece of wood onto the spring and it will turn sweet. But they don't. They fail the test. Today, for us, Christians today, we are also God's chosen people, like the Israelites. Do we depend on God to provide us with our daily needs? When we have troubles in mind or in our life, do we ask God for help, who is willing to listen? Or do we grumble against him? Are we feeling dissatisfied in our experience or situation and holding the bitterness in our hearts? If yes, that is true in your heart, that the constant complaint becomes something hinder your prayer life and your relationship with God, then it is now a good time to reflect on it and give your worries to God instead of grumbling. Ask God for help and release your fear. God is willing to help you. Remember that God is with us. He is merciful. He's always, always listening to our prayers. So, after God has provided the Israelites drinking water in Mara, he established a requirement and guidance for them. And there he put them on trial to test their faith and obedience. In verse 26, God said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." Now the Israelites need to learn to listen carefully to the Lord and do what he says, do what is right in his eyes. God promises that the Israelites that they pay attention to his command and keep all his decrees, keeping his law to the absolute standards for their conduct in order that they can live for God's glory. Then they were to listen to what he said, do what he wanted, and do what he commanded, keeping his words. Now, however, make sure that we understand that these requirements that God gave to the Israelites were not the basis of the Israelites' salvation. They were already saved by God when they crossed the river from slavery to freedom. They are already saved by God at the beginning, it's by grace. But now it is time for their sanctification. So God gave them his law. God gives the Israelites his law. God saves them first, and then he says, "Now there's something I want you to do. Do this." Salvation always comes by grace through faith, and the commands from God is not for salvation, but it is for sanctification. That means make you holy, make your life holy. Genuine saving faith is always, always followed by the joyful good works. You don't do good works or follow God's command in order to be saved. You are already saved when you believe. But after you have been saved by God, if you want to live in God's way, in a godly way, you need to respond to His word and listen to His command and trust and obey. God wanted to obey what He has commanded, so He gave Israel this instruction to help them to live godly lives for His glory. So, to the Israelites, the works of obedience to God's law revealed their relationship with Him. That's why back in Jesus' day, you got lots of Pharisees. For them, what they wanted to do, they want to show their relationship with God by obeying His law. But obedience is just a test of their faith. It is not the reason of their faith. It's like this is the way how covenants work, always works. God promises something, He gives warnings to bring blessings for obedience or curses for disobedience. The warning is that if they don't obey, they will suffer the same plague that they have witnessed in Egypt. God did not test His people so that they would fail, but in the hope that they would learn to obey God. It is like when we study in school. Many of us have been studying, or they are still studying, if you are, to grow our knowledge and our understanding to various subjects that we learn in schools. Before we graduate, there are always lots of tests and exams. HSC, final exams, our trials, semester, uni exams, lots of exams. But all these tests and exams are not designed to make it so hard so everyone fails. But instead, in the hope that all the students would learn and pass them. But unfortunately, not only at Mara, the Israelites kept failing their tests to obey God throughout their wandering in the wilderness, in the Exodus. When they were thirsty, they did not trust and obey God. They often grumble and complain and complain and complain. We often failed in the same way too. Our need in hardship are the testing of our faith. If God put you in trial or put you in hardship sometimes, it probably means that God is trying to test you, how faithful you are. It's not because bad things come to you, just God wants to give you something, a test, so to see how faithful you are. If everything goes well, people don't have faith. They won't grow in their faith. It is just a test for them. So, when we follow Jesus, we should all cling to Jesus on every trial and test that God has put into our life, to fully trust in Him and obey His word, what is like for the all everything that He's written for us in the Bible, in the name of Jesus. So, but what unfortunately, like us, like many people like Israelites, when the trials come, rather than waiting for God for quiet confidence, we get anxious and get angry with people around us. And or in worst cases, we get angry with God too. Not just angry with people because the bad thing happened to me. I'm not angry with everyone around me who's responsible. I'm angry with God. Why did God put me in this? That is what we're trying to learn today. Not to grumble. No matter what, when our life is up or down, God loves you. When bad things happen, it does not mean that God has abandoned you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. He's always with you, walking with you side by side. God loves you in no matter what the circumstances, and He is willing to give you a hand whenever you need Him. All you need to do is just to ask Him in faith, in the name of Jesus Christ, put your trust in His word and His promises. Just like what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, He said, "And teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That is the divine promise from God to all of us who believe in Him. So, this passage that ends with God spurring the people to a healing place, an oasis in the wilderness, in the desert, is called Elim. And where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. Now, Elim was a place of abundance given by God, and the numbers 12 and 70 are symbolic word numbers, which means fullness or blessing. There are plenty of water and shade for everyone, and God's provision for our needs is abundant. He satisfied the Israelites first in the desert, And from the everlasting fountain of His grace, He also showers His people with care so that we will flourish in every way. God has made abundant provision for us as well, not just for the Israelites. He provided us by sending His Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. Jesus is like Eliam, the abundance of living water. If we have Jesus, we have everything that we need. God will meet all our material needs. He will provide all of our spiritual needs. He has provided everything that we need daily for our daily existence. And God also promised to meet all our deepest spiritual needs with Jesus Christ, so that He can grant us the forgiveness and giving us fellowship, give us the fellowship with God forever. That is the fountains of Marah and Eliam. Every water spring that you see in the Old Testament is actually pointing us to Jesus as the water of life. Whenever you see every passage that talks about water spring, it's all of them just pointing you to the living water. If you read John, the Gospel of John chapter 7, you will notice that Jesus said to the woman in the well, He said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." The Holy Spirit, that is what Jesus is pointing to, is a refreshing source of all our spiritual vitality. To come to Jesus is to receive His Holy Spirit, and with the Spirit, an everlasting supply of grace from God. Everyone who comes to Jesus discovers that He's deeply satisfying in every way. If you have Jesus in your life, if you fully trust Him that the Holy Spirit is living in you, you will feel that you are satisfied with Him. That you doesn't need all those materials, or iPhone, or materials, or cars, or big house. Nothing is needed. You will feel satisfied from the living water, because God lives in you, and He will satisfy you, give you a real source of satisfaction in Jesus. So now let us all give thanks to God, to our Father, for the fountains of living water in Jesus, so that we will come and drink abundantly for eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for you for today. We give thanks for your word and your living water through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, help us change us so that we won't grumble against one another, but fully satisfied in Jesus Christ, who is more than everything that we have. Lord, help us so that we won't learn. We will learn from this lesson so that we won't grumble against you like the way Israel did. Help us so we have found satisfaction in you alone. We pray this name, Son. Amen.